We are called to be uncomfortable in literally all areas of our life. So we're going to kind of unpack that, and ultimately we're going to look at Paul's writing in Philippians. So if you don't mind, stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. Yes, it's that those verses that you know and love. But truthfully, it shows you the position that Paul is in to write these verses. And the front part, you're going to be like, why are we reading? Because it's context. And then we'll get to the meat of it at the end. So verses 4 through 13, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everybody. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God will surpass all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is any worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to be abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have it to unpack and look into our lives and look at these strongholds and be like, hey, what is really going on inside? What am I really up against? What am I really fighting right now? Lord, is it my flesh? Is this the spirit of the world? Is it the conviction? What is going on? Lord, allow your word to decipher and distinguish for us exactly what we are to do. So God, we thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we kind of look into the context of this passage, Paul is under house arrest. He is probably in Rome. This is during the reign of Nero, and Nero was the kind of person that if you were a Christian, you didn't want to go against. He was awfully mean. He was harsh, killing people left and right. Like, he was the opposition to Christianity during this time that Paul is in prison. So Paul is kind of writing from a position knowing, like, look, I know what's standing in front of me. He's getting ready to be brought to charges against him. And he says, look, I'm pretty good right now. I know I'm in prison, and I know things are not looking, they're looking pretty bleak, but I've got Jesus on my side. So whatever come what may, I'm good. I'm content. I don't need more. I don't need less. I'm content with what I have. How many of us would feel like we're content today? Let's go look at your bank account, and I'll tell you how content you are. Or not even your bank account. Let's just look at your social media, or just look at your phone and your ads, because your phone's always listening, you know. And whatever you're talking about, whatever you're looking at, whatever you're wanting pops up over and over and over again, because that's how they market it. They know they can get you the more they show it to you. The more that you see something, the more you're going to want it and desire it. And that's why it's so easy for Christians to stumble and fall and kind of get wayward, because it's in front of us all the time. So if we're not doing the core strengthening of our faith and our foundation work and figuring out how to actually live in contentment, we're going to fall on our face. And I'll be the first to say, this weekend, this lesson, this entire conversation was smacking me in the face over and over again. And yesterday, my wife and I were talking, and we're like, oh, it'd be nice if we had this. It'd be great if we had this. What about this? And oh, we can drink. And I'm like, what are we doing? We're giving in. We're allowing the devil to use these worldly things to twist our perspective of what we think we want and need. And if we didn't stand and fight and say, hold up, we're not going to give in, we're not going to allow this, we probably would have new vehicles in our parking lot, because I was almost this close to buying a Jeep. You guys know it. I was this close. I was this close. But I fought back. I'm like, no, I'm taking a stand and I'm not doing it. Not today, at least. Now, maybe tomorrow. We'll see how if I'm putting in the work. We'll see. But like we have to, Christians, this is what we have to do. We have to put in to the work. Because here's the thing. What we do is we kind of build around this life orientation of comfort. And it kind of has these three areas that we'll look at. Dennis, if you want to put those three circles up. There's three areas that we'll look at when it comes to our comfort. The first one is our physical comfort. And if you know anything, you strive for your physicalness to be comfortable. That's your temperature. That's your food. That's what you're doing. That's who you're around. I mean, we do crazy things to get comfortable in our physicalness. And a lot of pastors will stop in our physical. We'll just talk about wanting stuff. We'll talk about the lust. We'll talk about buying. And we'll talk about, there's so much more to it. We got to enter the world of our mental comfort. And this is that whole idea of getting comfortable at home after you had a long day where you can't deal with anything else. You're screaming at your kids. And we'll kind of unpack these a little bit more and you'll see what I'm saying. And then the third one we never talk about is this whole idea of being spiritually comfortable. And I don't know about you, but I've been in congregations before as a listener, and I was like, you know what, I'm just content with doing what I've been doing. And here's the notion, like we're saying be content and live in contentment. It's good whenever you're fighting the fleshy things. When it comes to your spiritual, never be content. Always want more, always desire more, always do everything you can to sharpen your sword. Okay? Because the last thing we need is a church full of content spiritually people who are doing nothing because they're satisfied. I don't know about you, but I'm never fully satisfied. I always want more Jesus. And that's what Paul writes about over and over again. He goes, look, whatever you need, I just need more of Jesus. I want to know Jesus more. I need more of him, not more of the stuff. Not more of these things that I'm longing. Not even more security. Not more freedom. I just need more of Jesus. I need to be in his presence all the time. And yet, here we are as a church, and is that even what we're going after? If the temperature in this room was just slightly off, you'd be like, oh, I'm too cold, I can't focus. Or you'd be like, I'm so hot, and this is me, I get too hot. I went back here a minute ago and I said, it's too hot, man. Turn it down. Because what's going to happen is I'm going to start and get like unfocused. And I'm going to lose my desire to kind of be in tune with what God is doing today because I'm so focused in myself right now. So church, I'm going to challenge us to kind of look past this. So we're going to look at these first, or these three circles kind of in detail a little bit. And then we're going to kind of unpack a little bit more. But I came across this statement as I was studying and I really, really liked it. And it says, great things never come from comfort zones. Is that not reality? Great things never come from your comfort zone. Imagine the disciples in the Bible, if they would have stayed in their comfort zone and not actually follow Jesus as he requested, how do you think the story would have ended up? Just same for all of us. Whenever you came to know Christ, you had to step out of your comfort zone. When we do altar calls, you're stepping out of your comfort zone because you're realizing that there is something greater when I leave that comfort. There is something out there that is so much better than if I stay in my little bubble. So when we go back to those three circles, those are your comfort zones. And I don't know who I know about most of you people, and I don't know necessarily what you're struggling with, but you know where your comfort is. You know out of the physical, mental, or spiritual, which one you're really struggling with. And maybe you're here today and you're like, I'm messed up. I'm struggling in all three. Well, that's where you need to realign with Jesus and come and bring it to his feet and just say, God, I can't do this. I can't handle this anymore. This pursuit that I'm pursuing is just leading me to be bankrupt, leading me to have anxiety and depression, and leaving me with despair. So today we got to fight that. So we're going to talk about the first one. The first one is this physical comfort. And it's in these two things, materialism and security. Right? Everything we do is a life centered on gaining or maintaining comfort in our life. And in our physical self, it's one of these two areas typically. One, you're trying to get something material. You're trying to get that new Jeep. You're trying to get that new house. You're trying to get that new boat because your neighbor got one. You're trying to get that new mower. You're trying to get that new fill in the blank, whatever it is for you, fill in the blank. But you know what it is. And as we talked about last week, the stronghold is anything that is in front of you in Jesus. So whatever that fill in the blank is, that's a stronghold for you in your materialism. That is something that is causing you to stumble. Do you ever think back in history and be like, man, we got it so good with all the stuff we have. Like life is so easy with the cars we have, with computers, with cell phones. Like, don't you ever think and be like, man, we got it so good? We actually don't. Like we really don't know how to follow Jesus. We think we do. We put up this whole, if we just come to church, we're following Jesus. If we come on Wednesday nights, we're following Jesus. Hey, those are great things and I'm going to encourage you to keep doing them. But it's not necessarily that means you're following Jesus. It means you're being somewhat obedient, but you're not actually doing the spiritual discipline of knowing him intimately. Americans do everything we can in pursuit of our comfort. Everything we have, everything that is built. If you ever get on Amazon and just kind of just sit on Amazon for a minute, don't click a button. I mean, don't click a single button. Just get on Amazon. You'll be surprised at how much stuff is geared towards just your comfort. To make your life easier, to make it where you can do less work, or to make it where your physical body is comfortable. And this is kind of where we live because we want to keep up with the Joneses, right? Anybody ever heard that phrase before? Yeah, we all do it. We all know the phrase. We all kind of, at some point, give into it. We see somebody who has something. And here's the greatest way to defeat materialism in your life. Celebrate the other person's blessings. I heard that once in a sermon, and it radically changed the way that I view things. Instead of looking at people with bitterness and resentment, like, God, why are you not doing this for me? Why are you giving it to that person? Because I know what they do in their spare time. Why would you bless them? No, I'm going to celebrate that blessing and say, God, you are good for it. And in due time, if something comes, I'll be thankful. If not, I'll be content. That's kind of what Paul's talking about, right? That's kind of the conversation we're at. In today's world, materialism is rampant. The average American, now there's a lot of us, the average American has 3 credit cards and a reoccurring debt of $6,000 minimum. Now, for some of you, you're like, that ain't bad, pretty good. But then for some of us, you're like, that's terrible. It means because what happens in this whole reoccurring, revolving debt is this whole notion of you keep buying what you can't pay for. You see something, you just buy it because it looks good, it looks fun, so you got to have it, you got to have it, got to have it, so you swipe, swipe, swipe. So then that revolving debt just keeps happening over and over and over. And maybe you're in that cycle of you just keep buying and buying and buying. Well, it's a stronghold in your life. That image where we start with, where it shows our hands being tied, that's what it is. It's something that is holding us down, pressing us into something that we don't want to do. So the other part of this is security, where we physically have to be secure, where we feel like we're outgrowing our house. We feel like we, here's one. How many of you guys have a long day at work or you're out in the yard working and what you do is you go home and put your comfy clothes on? Once those comfy clothes get on, are you leaving the house? Nope. That's a stronghold. It's a barrier that is placed now between you and doing what God wants in your life. Because too often something could come up, but you're in your comfy clothes, so you ain't going to move. You comfy. Or what about you find that perfect chair? And I was reading a story about a dad who was kind of being tormented in his mind about the actions that he had with his kids. And he goes, basically every day he would come home from a long day of work and he was griping at everybody. And he would eat dinner and he would say, does anybody need anything from me now? Because once I sit down in my recliner, I ain't moving. That's a lot of us, right? I don't know about you, but my kids and my wife, I love them. But it seems the moment I sit down is when they need something. Like the moment I'm like waiting, like in the moment I sit, hey, can you do? Because we want our comfort. We do everything for our comfort and our security. The second thing, or the next circle of comfort would be mental comfort, convenience and numbing. There have been seasons in my life, and I'm sure there's been seasons of your life where everything is geared towards convenience. Fast food was your best friend. Because you don't have time to go home and cook. You don't have time for that. You're always on the go. You're always on the move. You're always trying to do something or get to somewhere. And we orientate our life about convenience. This whole world now, I kind of like the world we live in. Some of you guys don't. I get it. But I kind of like it. Technology has been pretty cool. This whole idea where you can order your groceries and it be delivered. Anybody do that? Like we don't have the delivery. We do the pickup, though. That is amazing. But as a Christian, it's awful. Because what it does is it removes me being able to talk to people. It allows me to be a drive-through Christian. And too often that's what we're allowing and we're doing because it's about convenience with our life. It's about whatever is easy. And I know you guys know this. When did the TV dinners become a big thing? What decade? Because I'm young. 50s. Yeah, I knew there'd be somebody that knew it. My man. Yeah, the 50s. I mean, we've been pursuing this whole idea of comfort for half a century now. Because we want convenience in our life. Christians, we succumb to just putting our kids in front of TVs or sending them to classes or sending them away to camp to get their discipleship rather than actually discipling our children at home. Because it's more convenient for someone else to do it. That whole back-to-school notion of I can't wait for the kids to go because my life becomes more convenient because now I got to deal with them for 8 hours. right? We pursue our comfort. And this is that mental comfort or the numbing. How many of you guys go home and just veg on TV all night because you don't want to deal with anything else? I love movies. And that's one thing I love about movies is I become numb to the world. I ain't got to focus. I ain't got to listen to it. I ain't got to deal with anything. Like, I can get sucked into that reality, and that's what we do. We allow our comfort to take over our brain where we just want to be numb. We don't want to deal with people anymore. We don't want to have any hard comfort. We don't want to do anything. So we want the numbness of watching TV or getting sucked into our phones or playing games or whatever, you know, whatever it is. But that's what we do. We pursue it in our mind. The last one, the last circle of comfort is spiritual comfort. Two words we never want to hear for us, right? Stagnant and lukewarm. Lukewarm could also be complacent. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been, like I said, I've been in churches where I've been stagnant, where there was no flow, there was no growth, there was nothing happening spiritually inside of me. And I came to a point where I said, I'm either going to just walk away or I'm going to just get all in. And by getting all in, I mean, I'm going to study, I'm going to grow, I'm going to be in groups, I'm going to be connected, I'm going to serve, I'm going to love, I'm going to give, I'm going to do everything I possibly can to embrace this kingdom of God because of what Jesus did for me. I'm not going to be stagnant because stagnant is death. Whether we want to believe it or not, too often we just want to sit here and be listeners rather than doers as well. Church, we've pursued our comfort, even in church. I've said this before in here. If the chairs were gone and the air conditioning was broken, the lights were down and there was no sound, would you still show up? Probably not. If we were to have church outside today, would you show up? Because it is like a sauna out there. Would you still show up? No. Heck, when it's raining sometimes, we're like, oh, it's weather. I can't leave my house. My hair will melt. Well, what? I don't think Jesus cares about your hair, but he knows them. Okay. I'm trying, people. I'm trying. So what happens is we become stagnant where there is no movement, there's no flow at all, there's no growth, or we become lukewarm where we don't care anymore. And some of us are in that place where we don't care anymore. Remember last week I talked about the mindset, the stronghold of the mind. Part of it was despair where you feel like it's all hopeless anyway. No, Christians, we have the greatest hope. We have the ability to know what's coming. And why don't we bask in it? Man, we should be having a party, amen? Yeah, we sit here. Amen. During worship. No, we should be excited, church. We have the greatest hope ever. And this is and all of this is that these are our comfort zones. But the devil has been able to infiltrate and create three lies that we believe. And in these three lies, you're going to probably recognize and affiliate with them pretty quickly. The first one is that suffering is the opposite of comfort. You ever felt like that? Where if you're not comfortable, you're suffering? Where if you're not at peace with what's going on, man, this just sucks. Like, life is miserable. Like, why am I here? I'm too hot. I'm too cold. I can't focus. I'm starving. Like, I get it. They're worldly excuses. But at some point, we got to realize that this is a lie. That suffering is not the opposite of comfort. You can be comfortable and still suffer. Or you can be suffering and still be comfortable. Hello, look at Paul. The moment we realize that this is a lie, the sooner we realize what God is doing in our lives, that, hey, no matter what may come, I can be content. Whether I have or I'm without, God is good. The second thing is being uncomfortable needs to be avoided. The world wants you to avoid being uncomfortable. They want you to have your way. They want you to be okay with your skin. They want you to just live whatever life you want and have nobody say anything in opposition against it. Because if you're uncomfortable, you need to be avoiding it because life's about comfort. We even name hotels Comfort Inn. Like, you see how deep this runs. Being uncomfortable is what it's about. I mean, I look at scripture in story after story after story, especially like when you look at the Old Testament, all the prophets that came, how many of them like tried to run away and said, Lord, not me. They were too afraid to be uncomfortable. But ultimately, when we realize getting uncomfortable actually means we leave our comfort zone, then we see great things start to happen. We start to see growth take place. We start to see barriers changing down. Growth begins at the end of our comfort zone. Stop living in your comfort zone. So I kind of was wondering as I was studying, I always ask a question to myself before I really unpack, after I pray and study a little bit. I ask a question that I always want to answer myself is, why do people pursue comfort so much? This was my question, is why are we so inclined to just constantly pursue comfort and comfort and comfort? And I found the answer pretty quickly. Quick little Google search gave me the answer I was looking for. And this is what I found. According to various dictionaries, this is literally word for word on the web, comfort equals giving strength, hope, and help. When we talk about these lies that we believe, this is the greatest lie we believe. That if we get our comfort, we're going to have strength. If we get that comfort we're striving after, we're going to get our hope. If we get that comfort we're longing for, we're going to get the help we deserve. But how quickly is that not the truth? See, the world has mistangled this and misused this to misalign us to believe that Jesus isn't our hope, but your comfort is. Your treasure is. What you're building is. If you can do this thing, whatever it may be for you, that's where your hope is. That's where your help is. That's where your wealth is. That's where your strength is. But Christians, wake up. That is not anything for us except for temporal things that will fade away. I don't know how many of you guys, I mean, I'm an iPhone guy. I get a new phone and I'm like, oh, this thing is great. And then after 6 months, I see the new one and I'm like, I want the new one. Like how quickly it fades away and I could care less about it. Or the moment you drop it, you're like, oh, well, there it goes. It's trash now. But how quickly the things of this world fade away and yet we cling to them like they have hope in them. You are one phone call away from your world being devastated. That treasure you're building, that car you have, that house you love, so it means nothing. But yet we do everything as a life orientation for our comfort rather than being a life orientated on Jesus. Church, it's time to wake up. Don't you love me? I love yelling at you. Too forward? Sorry. So I want to give you just a couple little ways to help break these strongholds. There's just two. The sentence wasn't coming. Two strongholds, two ways to get over your strongholds. One is learn contentment, and here's the best part, and live in it. Because too often we want to learn it, we want to talk about it, we want to get educated in it, but we don't want to walk it out. How many of us actually like the hard part of making it a habit? No, none of us. Just like working out. We don't do it. Right? So learn contentment and then live in it. That's part of breaking the stronghold of comfort. The second one is persevere glad-hearted faith in God through uncertainties. It means build your faith. Create a stronghold around your faith to secure it. Create barriers and boundaries to where you know you're good no matter what comes. So we're going to kind of unpack those two. So learning contentment and then living in it. Learning contentment has been one of the hardest things in life. It really is. When you're an infant, one of the first things kids do is they can't communicate, so they just take. They take what they want. They just grab it, and it's theirs. If they see it, they take it. They don't care what's going on because we're selfish by nature, and it's who we are. So contentment is not in our vocabulary until we learn it. It's not an attitude or a habit we have until we actually start to put it into practice. This is this passage that Paul is in and he's writing from is an interesting look into Paul's ministry because the Philippian church is one of the only churches that ever actually gave to him, like financially gave him money to kind of push through his ministry and stuff. So he's writing them, unlike Galatians and Colossians, those two letters were like an error of ways in correcting and fixing issues. This one's more of just like a glad-hearted, like, hey, I appreciate you. I thank you for what you've done, and I'm asking that you continue in the faith. So in doing so, as he's writing this, you see this whole, I'm not saying I'm in need right now. I'm not saying that I have an issue that I need you guys to kind of help me with, but I'm just saying that I've learned the ways ways to being content in all things. I've learned the ways that whenever I've had plenty because you guys have helped me, because I've built, you know, you guys have helped me sustain my ministry, or I've been in moments in prison where I've had absolutely nothing, yet I've found the balance of the two where I can live at peace. Because in life, that's what we're longing for, right, is peace. That's what we all want is peace, and peace is only found through Jesus Christ, right? When we get to understand who he is, we learn his peace, we live in his peace. But too often we're so focused on gaining and attaining that we lose that peace because we become misguided and misfocused. So here are some insights on this passage from Philippians. Paul is not talking about complacency. When you look at his life, he's not talking about being okay with not having anything or being okay with no movement. He is just saying that he understands where his position is. And remember, unlike any of us, none of us are waking up tomorrow going to be like, yeah, death is facing me. I know I'm headed that way right now. Now, we're all headed towards death. But like in his situation, he was literally in chains being brought to the emperor that was going to probably kill him. That was the goal of him being in prison was to kill him, essentially. None of us are facing that today. So when we look at it, we're like, hold on. This looks differently for us. But ultimately, when we look at it, we face the same kind of thing. And he's saying, I'm facing death, but guess what? It's all good in the hood because I got my Jesus. Do you face the world with that same attitude? It's all good, man. I got my God with me. We don't. And I can prove it if we look at your phone. How many of you guys reach for your phone first thing to check who's called you or who messaged you or what you missed in the world or to check your emails or to check your bank account? I know people that do that. Sounds funny, right? That's because we live in comfort. We really got to look at the stronghold in our life and say, where are we? Where are we in this? Because Paul knew where he was at. He knew what he was facing, and he knew where he had come from, and he was good with it. Some of us don't even want to have a conversation with a coworker, let alone anything else. We get stressed out about the littlest of things that will interrupt our day and make us uncomfortable, let alone telling somebody about the hope we have. Paul is doing, what he is doing is describing that he's learned that in no matter what, he has learned that he can do all things because of Christ who strengthens him. We have all heard that verse before. We all love that verse. Amen? It's all one that we gladly wear, right? Football players wear it. Out of context, but it's a good verse to live by, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What if you flip that with the thing that you really treasure the most? I can do all things through my money that gives me foundation. I can do all things through my kids because they're what my life is about. I can do all things through my job that is can replace me tomorrow. I can do all things through my retirement even though it could crumble in a week. I'm not here to say there's fear in the world, but I'm saying you better know who Jesus is. You better learn that contentment that you live in this struggle between two worlds, between two kingdoms. You're not in the kingdom of darkness if you're a Christian. You live in the kingdom of light, and too often we want to retreat backwards. So I'm encouraging you to take that stand and step out of your comfort zone and learn contentment and live in it when it comes to your flesh. Proverbs 16:9 says, "The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." You can't do it on your own. I've never met anybody that's been like, I got so much self-control, I'm good. If that's the case, I'll put a donut in front of you and see how fast it's gone. Maybe you're not a sweet guy. I'll put a piece of pizza. Whatever. I'm joking. The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes a step. See, we can't lean on our own understanding for this. We have to trust in the Lord to learn contentment and then help us live in it. The last one is to persevere glad-hearted faith in God through uncertainties. There's no way of knowing what will happen tomorrow. There's no way of knowing what will happen in a month. No matter what almanac you follow, whatever news guide you listen to. But I can tell you at the end of the story, God wins. And each day, you get to make that deposit into one of the two kingdoms. One, you're either making the deposit in the kingdom of light, strengthening your faith, helping you get through the uncertainties, helping you kind of figure out the certainties of life, because there's really two things that are for sure in life. We've talked about them, right? Taxes and death. Yeah, no amens on that? Yeah, okay. That's the only two things that are guaranteed in this life is taxes and death, but there's a third option. If you choose Jesus, it's hope, salvation, eternity, reconciliation. Man, I don't know about you, but that makes me excited. That gives me that warm feeling that I'm striving for with the comfort. But here's the thing, it's sustainable. It never fades, it never ends. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not because of me, but because of Christ. Too often we try to be the hero. Too often we try to save the day. But understanding who came first. And then realizing who's going to be at the end. That's what's going to help us preserve or persevere through the faith. And one thing I kind of talked about earlier was the suffering. There's that lie that we talked about, suffering. The opposite of comfort is suffering. I kind of want to read a passage that kind of breaks that down to help us persevere through our faith, to help us understand our foundation. James chapter 5, not chapter 5. 5:7. It was chapter 5, yeah. Yeah, there it is. James chapter 5, 7 through 12 says, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that they may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door, and it's an example of suffering and patience. Brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard of steadfastness of Job. You have seen the purpose of the Lord. How the Lord is compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Suffering is not the absence of comfort. You will face suffering in this world. Don't replace it with comfort. See, this is what we want to do. Something is going crazy. Something, you break up with somebody, or you had a bad day at work, or you lost your job. What's the first thing you do? You go for the ice cream, right? That's what typical movie says, right? You go for the ice cream. You got to have you're rolling your eyes. I love it. But that's what we do. We go for that comfort thing that we know to be steadfast in our life. The thing that has been there for us all throughout our troubles, rather than turning to the one that actually helped us through our trouble. Suffering is not the absence of comfort. You will face troubles. You will face trials. But how you respond will set the tone of moving forward. Don't pursue comfort. And don't get into the act of over-pursuing comfort. Step out of your comfort zone and follow the Lord. Let's pray. God, I thank you today for helping us deal with our issues, for helping us understand kind of what's going on in and around our lives, Lord, as we just pause for a minute to give you thanks, Lord, as your word says, in all things through prayer and supplication, Lord, we ask and you take. God, we struggle with these things, and maybe comfort's not one of those things. Maybe we've learned contentment, but Lord, there are strongholds in our lives today that are still holding us down, that are still bounding us to and pressing us against something we don't want to give into, something we don't want to do. But Lord, we know that there's freedom found in your name. There's freedom in your embrace. There is love in your words. There is hope in your hands, Lord, and it was all displayed on a beautiful cross for us. Lord, that Jesus Christ, your Son, would come and take our place and pay the debt that we owed and bear all the wrath of you so we can actually live with you. God, we give you the glory today. We give you all the adoration. We give you all the praise because, Lord, you are worthy of it. Holy, holy, holy is your name. Lord, as we worship, surround us today. because there is something going on in this room that somebody is fighting against and being relentless to give in to. But Lord, break the heart. Break the stronghold today. Help us realize it's not about us. It's not about what we're going after in this world. Lord, help us not replace you with things. Lord, we ask that your Spirit be the guide that helps us understand and convict us in our ways, and that your word is our lamp, that truly we can see the world the way you see it. Lord, that we can have contentment and then be able to live in it. Lord, but help our spiritual side never be content, to always want more, to always desire more of you, to know you deeper, to just gain insights on who you are by gleaning it from your word. Lord, so we can stand up and declare with boldness that you are our God. And it was all because you loved us first. That you sent your Son to be our Redeemer, to break the chains, to help us persevere in the faith. Regardless of what may come, come what may, you are my God. God, in these moments of uncertainties, Lord, I ask that you step in. And I ask that you step in because too often we want to shut the door. We want to create our own boundaries and our own barriers to try to push you out because we think we know best. But God, today you are the Great One, the Alpha, the Omega. Lord, allow us to, your Spirit to rest on us as we love you and we serve you. And we ask all this in your Son's precious name. Amen.